Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, and you're listening to Incredible Life Creator Podcast. My guest today is Laura Fredrickson. Welcome to the podcast, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here today. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yes, and we had you on a podcast earlier, so I'm going to put that in the show notes because you have quite a story, and I think people need to hear the whole story. But today, we're going to share your new book.
Okay, thank you.
So yeah, so just a little bit about Laura. Laura Fredrickson is a TEDx speaker, soul whisperer, and author of the best-selling book, A Journey Back to Self, for those who have lost their way. Laura's global mission is to awaken people to the true source of their freedom, fulfillment, and well-being, and to initiate a deep remembrance of their innate value and signature significance to the planet. That is quite a tongue twister there at the end. So excited about your new book. So why don't you tell people just a little bit about your background and your story so they understand how this book came about?
Thank you. My journey has been very, very filled with powerful teachings all through the energies and the illusion of money. And so my initiation into what I call my soul quake, so just like there's earthquakes, I believe we have soul quakes as well, was when I lost both of my parents to a dual suicide when I was 29 years old. And there's more information and details about that in the other podcast with Kimberly and also in my book. So I don't want to go into details around that today. That was a very powerful initiation for me on my own journey and my own mission and journey back to myself. I inherited quite a bit of money. I went down a path of conquering money and thinking that my security and my freedom and my peace resided in my bank accounts, and was gifted the tech collapse in 2000, where I lost everything. My home was in foreclosure and I became very suicidal. I was facing the same destiny and choice that my parents were. And I had a very powerful signature moment where I chose to be vulnerable with a dear friend. I told her I was plotting my suicide. I couldn't go on. It was just unbearable for me, the shame, the guilt, and just having felt that I had lost it all. At the ripe old age of 30, that there was nothing left to really live for. And in that transparent, vulnerable moment, there was a heart opening. It was a pinprick of hope. And as minute as it was, it did open me to the guidance, which appeared in a book just moments before I had shared with her. I went and sat on the couch and I saw a book on numerology. And within that book, I was guided to my life path, which is a 9. And in the first paragraph, it summarized in detail everything that had just happened to me. You may lose loved ones. You might be facing a natural disaster, which I was also dealing with, a forest fire on some property that I had owned. And you may lose money in the stock market. It was just so amazing to have that book land in my life at such a powerful moment in time, at such a choice point and crossroads in my life, and to have it summarized in such detail. So it was in that moment that I felt there was a divine orchestration. There was something, there was an undercurrent that was actually of well-being intended for my own breakthroughs and for my own journey to come into a deeper realization of what is now in the book, A Journey Back to Self. And so in the reading of that book at that time in my life, I did embark on a journey back to self, received a lot of transmissions and guidance around the true source of freedom, the true source of well-being and security. And I've been guiding people and souls on their evolutionary path of fulfillment for the last 20 plus years. And so I have another book that will be coming out probably next year, which is very much around shifting our fundamental relationship with money. And it's a whole new thought language around that. But I during this pandemic in this last year, in February of this year, I was quite depressed. I felt very asphyxiated in my wisdom and in my brilliance and what I felt I was really called here to share. I just realized I have Palo Santo burning. And it's just creating, in case anybody is wondering what all this smoke is, it's Palo Santo. So I was just really in this place of feeling very just asphyxiated, especially as suicide rates are at an all-time high. The pandemic promoted so much just isolation and depression for so many people. And I have so much wisdom to share regarding this subject on how to alchemize our pain and suffering into strength and beauty. And so I had a very pivotal, powerful conversation with a friend of mine. And in that conversation, it was revealed to me and it was made known to me because he asked me a very powerful question. And mind you, I had just lost two friends to suicide, both of which had jumped off a bridge, which he didn't know. And in the conversation, he said, "So if someone were about to jump off a bridge, would you hand them your priceless principles and practices," which was the teachings I just mentioned to you I'd been doing for 20 plus years. And I said, "No." And he said, "So you're being asked to write that book. So if somebody is boarding a plane in Brazil and they're on their way to New York City and they're planning to take their own life and they see your book in a bookstore and they pick it up and they start reading it, by the time they get off the airplane, they will be forever changed and they will have bought back into their life." And I was so flooded with chills, which I call truth bumps, for 3 minutes, sobbing in a deep realization that this was the book that was wanting to be born at such a pivotal time in our human evolution. So I started to work with my guides. I worked with Saint Germain and the Violet Flame, and I set the intention to allow whatever needed to come through at this time in service to the awakening of human potential and consciousness to come through me. And so I basically channeled the book. I am a spirit medium. I am a clairsentient as well. And in the course of 3 months, I had written the whole book. And when I say written the book, I had channeled the book. And the first book is all the wisdom that came through me. The second book is interviews that I've done with other spirit mediums, Ricky Lake, other significant people who are intimate with the subject of suicide, depression, self-worth, because one of the main intentions in this book is to remove the stigma of suicide and to remove the stigma of mental health and to let everyone know they're not alone. No one is exempt. There is nobody I have ever met that hasn't had some deep depression and at least started to contemplate the subject of ending one's life because of the degree of pain and confusion and suffering that we all face at some point in time. So that is a bit more about the backstory of how this book was born into existence.
Yes. And right now, people need that so much. Mm-hmm. So many people are, you know, silently hurting. We don't realize they're hurting. You know, you look at social media and everyone's putting their best face forward and you think, oh, they're doing great. Everybody's fine. But you don't know what's happening behind the curtain. You don't know what's happening behind their front door at their homes.
Yes.
What's happening inside of them when you see that smile as they walk into the office? You don't know what's behind that.
Yes. Yes. And I just had somebody tell me yesterday that the governor of California has issued a state of emergency for the mental health crises that teens are facing and the increased suicide rates. So this is becoming a very, very important subject that we're being asked to bring to light. And so I'm thrilled for the amount of people that have reached out to me, that are doing fundraisers, that are getting this book into the school systems, bringing them into churches and spiritual centers and making them available, because therapists in so many places around the world, they just can't possibly address this crisis that is happening with the teens and with adults. I don't want to negate that, you know, suicide is at an all-time high with that as well. But it's now really getting quite a lot of attention, as it should. So I'm grateful that the conversation is being had in a very real way.
Yes. In your experience, I mean, things are changing everywhere. Things are shut down. But what is the pattern? What is causing the hopelessness amongst the teens? Is it that they know they're going to leave school and there's, no job, or they can't go out, or they can't socialize? What are some of the root causes of this feeling of not wanting to be here?
I think one of the root causes is the lack of attention and emotional availability by their parents or by the caretakers or by the people that are just in their direct vicinity. And I don't say that in any way to shame parents, because so often the parents themselves are not clear on how to meet their own stresses and their own anxieties and their own feelings of isolation and insecurities. And so our ability to show up for another is directly relative to our ability to show up for ourselves. And so many times when I am working intimately and supporting parents, just in their own adjustments and navigating these very unusual, intense times, they're just doing the very best they can with dealing with the homeschooling. And then, you know, their jobs are now virtual and, you know, or they've lost their jobs. I mean, there's just so much changing that the ability to be present for a child and its needs beyond the scope of now we're homeschooling and then now we're making more meals because you're at home and now we're cohabitating in a space and we're all together in a way where we used to have a lot more space. I mean, there's just so many massive adjustments that are needing to be made. As well as, you know, I always say to people, it's very important to acknowledge you have been on a battlefield for the last 18 months. I mean, and by battlefield, I mean the internal scope of what people are going through, the stresses. So much of what, you know, the media is portraying and then so many other conspiracy theory. I mean, there's just so much mayhem and chaos going on that it has been a battlefield for the last, you know, 18 months. And so I really want to encourage people to stop and to just acknowledge, because so many people are coping, you know, and they're in survival on a lot of levels. And it's very important to stop and just give yourself a moment of, first of all, the perspective of these immense changes that are going on. Mm-hmm. And they are going on for us. I know it doesn't seem like that, because when I liken it to doing a renovation project. So if there's a renovation project that's happening, first is the tearing down of what there is, and then there's the rebuild. We're still in the rubble of the renovation project. You know, there's still nails laying around. It's still treacherous. It's not easy, you know, to walk around in that. And so it's really important, but we are rebuilding. We're rebuilding systems. We're rebuilding a new earth that is fundamentally going to work better for everyone. But each of us on an individual level is also rebuilding our own internal architecture. What really matters to us? What is our truth? What are our values? And so this is why so many people who lost their jobs and now have the ability to go back to what they were doing before, they're saying, oh, heaven no, I'm not doing that. That actually, this break has given me the ability to see the forest, you know, because when we're in the trees all the time, it's like we're not necessarily granted the ability to see from a higher perspective. Is this fundamentally the life I want to be living? Am I deeply fulfilled? And so coming back to the question about the kids, and I just wanted to relate this to the bigger picture of the family dynamic. There's a lot going on. So that's number one, just the tension and the stress. And remember, kids are learning not through what we're saying. They're learning based on our energies and what how we are showing up. And so those levels of stresses, if the parents aren't able to manage their own anxiety in a way that bleeds out, so to speak, into the dynamic, and that is felt, compounded by the technological advances and the exposure that kids are now having to social media. And so, or whatever media they're watching or seeing, that may be just compounding the stress for them, the comparison, mm-hmm. all of that. And third, and I think, well, I don't want to say more importantly, because I think it all lends itself to the confusion and the depression. excuse me. Third is that so much of what I've shared in my book, and I know other authors have spoken into, is not taught in the school systems. So children and kids and adults up until now have not actually been taught how incredibly powerful they are to create their own realities. And so my intention and my hope and what I'm promoting is that these core principles that are essential for mental health, the power of perception, the power of imagination, the power of the human heart, the power of vulnerability and transparency, just to name a few, the power of gratitude, you know, the power of forgiveness, the power, all of those, patience, perspective, practice, honoring our progress. I mean, there's so many jewels that we as human beings are being invited. This is part of what I feel the awakening of consciousness is all about right now, is directing humans inwards to the source of all creation and to the source of our mental health and our emotional well-being resides in the stories that we tell ourselves. And so my hope is that people do not give in to the illusions of their minds. And so to me, I'm really, really hopeful, intentional for my own path and journey and mission to make sure that these core principles are taught at a very young age. Because when that is in place, it is impossible to feel powerless. Regardless of the circumstances that you're facing, you realize change occurs at the speed of thought. Change occurs at the speed of shifting my perceptions. Change occurs at the speed of gratitude. Change occurs, you know, like people realize they don't have to be trapped in their circumstances. They don't have to be reactive to what they're seeing. They can begin to view it more from their soul's standpoint. They can begin to view it, you know, from the place of, how is this serving me? How is this upgrading me? How is this putting me more intimately in touch with the source of how powerful I am as a vibrational, energetic being and creator? So,
yeah. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about choices. You know, so many choices have been taken away, different things, even going to the grocery store and the things that you used to be able to buy, they're not there anymore. I mean, something simple like that, where it seems like things are being taken away, but then it really does have to do with how we're thinking about it. So we can think mm-hmm. about, well, you know, like in Australia, they're locked down so hard, you know, so strongly right now. And the people are, you know, wanting to be able to go out and do something, or they're tired of being controlled. There's other places like that in the world. And they can look at it as they're in prison, or they can look at it a totally different way and become empowered just by transforming their mind. So can you talk a little bit more about, let's say, those people who might be feeling some oppression, how do they create in their mind the world that they want to see, the world they want to experience?
Yes. Well, the first thing I want to mention is the journey of Gandhi. Gandhi was actually liberated in a literal prison cell. So freedom is a state of mind. I have worked with millionaires who have all of the quote unquote visible freedoms that a person could have, and they're miserable and imprisoned. So it is absolutely all about mindset, perception, the stories that we tell. So the first thing I would say in the example of what you've just described is to remember, this too shall pass. This is temporary. And I understand there's many variants and it seems like, oh my gosh, it's just going on and on and on. It will end, the ability to not be free in movement and what you're doing. So that's number one, is to just keep the perspective that this too shall pass, and then move into, how can I harness, how can I utilize this experience that I'm having now to promote greater awareness of self, to actually put me into a greater state of empowerment? How can I actually start to direct my focus towards what is working in my life and what I am grateful for? And so in the darkest of moments in my journey, gratitude was my salvation. I realized, you know, for those of you that are very focused and committed to your body strength. Yeah. So maybe you're doing yoga every day, or maybe you're doing Pilates, or maybe you're going, you know, doing some form of cardio or strength training. The same is required for our mind. I call it our mental fitness gym. And even though we may have gotten on the trajectory of noticing what isn't working and noticing lack and scarcity, what I call deficit mentality, or judging ourselves or judging our life, that's just a muscle that has atrophied. Yeah. Meaning if you've not gotten into the habit of the gratitude reps. Yeah. So if you've gotten out of the habit of strengthening the muscle of gratitude, I just want everyone to know it's just a muscle that's atrophied. It just takes some consistent repetitions. And that's as simple as 4 days a week, noticing three things you're grateful for and no repeats. You want to just notice different nuances, different aspects, because if we just say the same thing over and over, it starts to feel generic. And this practice is actually there to activate a new vibration of gratitude. So what you focus on expands, which means what you appreciate appreciates. Now, not only will the practice of deliberate gratitude in your life promote new opportunities and new solutions in the world of evidence, the most important thing that it's going to promote is you're going to feel better. And so we're either judging our life or we're grateful for our life. And so it doesn't feel good to judge our life. It does not feel good to focus on the places where we feel imprisoned and trapped and why isn't this working? And so that's the number one benefit and gift. And then the residual effect of that from a vibratory level, because we are attracting based on how we feel, is the things that you were imprisoned and feeling trapped and powerless about before. As you shift your focus and attention to what is working, what you're grateful for, and anything that starts to just uplift you, you start to just feel a little bit better, that will start to gain traction. And it is a practice. Yeah. So just those repetitions in the mental fitness gym. So 4 days a week represents the majority. And then in physics, there's what's known as momentum. So when you start to shift your inner ratio of attention away from the experiences and things that have you feeling trapped, more into the direction of what are you grateful for and what feels good now. The good news is, no matter where you are in your life, every single person has the ability to reach for a better feeling thought. And as simple as that sounds, that is the core of empowerment. And the better you start to feel, the better it's going to get out in your life. And the better it gets out there, the better you feel. And the better you feel, the better it gets. And the better it gets, and the better you feel. And what's also very powerful and significant about this is you start to see the literal reflections of the shifting of your focus. And that is at the core of empowerment, meaning you start to correlate, you connect the energetic dots between where you're placing your attention, which is your greatest commodity, and your focus and your inner dialogue, and how that translates into your literal life and reality. And when you start to see the influence that your feelings have in the world of results, that's a game changer. And I have to say, life, we do not have instant manifestations. Okay. So once you start your gratitude practice, you will instantly start to feel better. But in the world of results, it will take approximately 3 weeks-ish until you start to see the solutions, the new opportunities, and the things coming in. I want to add one more thing to this that is really significant, and that is to stop watching the news. I have had people work with me personally who have felt that to be responsible, they need to watch the news. I'm not responsible if I'm not watching the news, if I'm not up to date on what's going on. And it really makes a significant difference when if it's something that you're like, oh my God, I can't just stop watching, at least just start scaling it back. Because your greatest contribution to this planet is one of vibration. So if you're watching something that has you feeling powerless and is promoting fear and all the things going wrong, watch a different news channel that can uplift you, because nothing good comes from a place of fear. And I think most of us can agree it's quite paralyzing to be bludgeoned over and over with negative news. So that would be another practical tool. Replace that with some beautiful music, replace that with a little dance time, replace that with a wonderful show on Gaia, or it could be a documentary on, you know, whatever, just something that feels empowering, but really start to notice where you're putting your attention.
And there's a question that's been coming up as we've been talking, and it has to do with limitless abundance. You know, your story started out where your parents lost money, you lost money, and when you're in that position, you feel like there's a limit, or there's a lack, or there's not enough of something, but there really is unlimited amounts of money, unlimited amounts of love. You know, different people feel like they're lacking different things. Some people have money, like you said, the millionaires you worked with, but they might lack love, or they might lack significance or respect, or there's things that people feel like they're lacking in. And how do we help ourselves really realize that all those positive things that we would like to have are unlimited, they're limitless?
Well, I would say that the only lack that exists is the lack in our mindset. So abundance is our birthright. There is an infinite amount of love. There is an infinite amount of abundance. There's an infinite amount of beauty. There's an infinite amount of peace. All of it exists right now. It's not even something we have to go find and look for. And so even in the example of the millionaires that you said, you know, they've got the home and they've got the money, but they're lacking in love. Even in that example, they're not lacking in love. It's just that they've told stories to themselves that are actually keeping them away from the experience of love. So I would do a reframe on that. There is absolutely nothing lacking in this existence. This existence is inherently based in bounty and beauty. We live in a magnetic paradise. Mm-hmm. However, we have to collaborate with the universe. We have to collaborate with spirit. We have to collaborate with the energies that are creating worlds, that are managing our physiology, that is managing the rising and setting of the sun and the spinning of the earth and its axis and perfect proximity, and like how the flower blooms and photosynthesis, like all of those details are managed by a benevolent universe, by a benevolent creator, by whatever name you would want to give it. But we've been given free will. So we have to become harmonious with the love and the abundance that has been here all along. And the number one way to do that is in the practice of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so those times when we do feel like we're in pain, so pain's not always a bad thing. It helps us to reassess what's happening or take a new direction.
There is a purpose to our pain always. And 100% of the pain, I'm guided to the quote that the Buddha say, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. So I think there's an important distinction between that. I'll use a personal example. So when my book launched, which was on Suicide Prevention Day, 2 days before that, I broke my wrist and I had to have surgery. That was painful. What would have caused me, I could say, more pain or suffering would have been had I started to tell stories of what did I do wrong? How could I have not seen that that rock was slippery? Oh my God, I'm so stupid. Why is life out to get me? I just went to go launch this book. I would have been in a lot of suffering around an experience that, yes, of course, physiologically, it was painful. So I think it's important to discern between those, because we can have an experience where we fall down and trip, or we stub our toe, or, I just burned myself on my Palo Santo earlier. But that doesn't mean I have to create and promote suffering. So the suffering comes back to the perception and the stories that we're telling. For me, I chose, and it is a choice, to view that experience as my fall into grace. I do, as I always do, I look at the symbology of what happened, the timing that it happened, because I do believe everything in life is a miracle and everything is promoting me to a greater awareness and intimacy with my core self and my core identity of who I am on a cellular level as a spiritual being. And then how is that intended to play out in this lifetime to benefit my own journey and to benefit humanity. So that's my perceptional choice. I also broke my right wrist. So I knew symbolically that was really letting me know that I need to learn to receive more. I need to be more in my feminine more. I needed to realize on a very deep fundamental level that even at a time of a crisis, and I was on an island, there was a big storm, there was no hospital, there was a whole slew of things that my mind could have just gone into, but I didn't. And keep in mind, I had just authored this book. So I was being invited as Laura Fredrickson to be the embodiment of the book I had just written. So it was a bit of a spiritual test and a benchmark for me. And I passed the test. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm going to trust that everything's going to unfold. I'm held, I'm supported always and in all ways. And I could spend 15 minutes talking to you about the magic and the miracles and how everything lined up for me in this experience. And so it was a beautiful fall into grace for me. And so we all have these opportunities of what is the story we are choosing to tell ourselves about our experiences? And I talk about this in the book. There's actually a chapter called Purpose to the Pain, Purpose of Your Pain. And it's all about asking the right questions. You know, it's all about, what am I going to start to excavate here? Am I going to start to tell the story of life's out to get me? And why am I not lucky and promote victim consciousness? Or am I going to start to ask the questions of, what are you really wanting me to see here, Spirit? How are you wanting to reorganize my life in a way that's going to be more deeply fulfilling for me? How is this an opportunity for me to come into greater intimacy with grace and my inner knowing? These are just some examples of how we can prompt either more miracles and abundance and well-being through our quest ion, and the directive that we want to take in our journey? Or do I want to prompt more drama and negativity and scarcity and feelings of victim consciousness?
Exactly. Yeah. So I wanted to kind of go back to, you know, one of the main reasons you wrote the book is, you know, so many suicides happening or people contemplating suicide. So if you have a friend who you know, they're either talking about it or you just notice they're really depressed and you think they may be contemplating suicide, what kind of things could we say to encourage them? And, you know, because usually I would think that they're believing an illusion. They're believing something that's not true, and that's what's making them want to commit suicide, because they're making something mean something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the first thing that I would say is, if you sense or detect that someone you know and are close to is considering ending their lives, buy the book. And I say that with like true sincerity, because there are so many elements on this path and this journey back to self that are essential for someone to receive, because within the books, a book is actually codes. I'm actually sending transmissions of worthiness and empowerment within the book. So that's the reason I wrote the book, is for this purpose. So it's an amazing Christmas gift to give someone. It's an amazing gift to give somebody that you love. The other thing I would say is, if you're feeling and sensing that someone is considering ending their lives, it's very important to know that when someone is in that point of devastation, the rah-rah, cheerleading, da-da, especially if you yourself are coming from fear, rescue, fix, and save this person, it actually won't be received. And then it starts to kind of compound things, because even with the best intentions, if someone is just not able to hear how much you think their life matters, it can actually create like a chasm and then a frustration within you. So not always the best option. So I actually, in those examples, best thing you can do, I feel, is to let them know you're there for them. Let them know that they're loved and they're not alone, and that you're there to hold space for them, to just literally hold them in a hug, but ask them, what is it that you need? What is it that you need to feel loved and supported right now? So that's an open-ended question. And what's powerful about that question is they start to answer, oh yeah, what do I need? What would have, because sometimes people don't even know their love language. They don't necessarily even know what they need in that moment, but that lets them know they're not alone and they're seen. And then the most powerful thing is to remember that we are actually in service through our consciousness. So if there's somebody you know that is going through a difficult time, this includes yourself, by the way, that you can go into your inner altar, which is the state of meditation. If you have a picture of that person or family member, a picture of yourself at a time when you felt very happy, you felt very in your own skin, you felt very hopeful, these images are very powerful, and you can place it there. You can light a candle, and you can, if you're thinking of someone else, the most important thing is to not project your fear. Okay. It's really important to, for example, let's say the person's name is Edward. I'm sending love and light to Edward. I'm seeing him as an empowered being that is going to receive and understand the gift and the lesson in this teaching and this experience of suffering that he is having. I am calling forth his higher self right now to realize and to understand and to feel his way to a solution that will be most fulfilling for him. I trust that Edward will source his clarity and strength within this experience. I ask the angels, guides, beings of love and light, I ask Edward's ancestors to shower him with love and strength and beauty I ask that he remember the truth of who he is and how powerful he is as a creator. So these are examples where sometimes in the three-dimensional realm and the human to human, it's like, oh, it can be quite, not an easy path, and often not even close to being as powerful as our work in the five-dimensional realms of consciousness. So I say that also for anybody going through a difficult time, is to bring yourself on your own inner altar, pray to your guides, pray to your ancestors, pray to the beings of love and light, ask your higher self or your innate self to begin to shower you with insights and blessings and strength and awareness of how to navigate what you are going through for your highest benefit.
Mm-hmm. And you said a word that just sparked another question for me, which is being seen. I think a lot of times when people are going through these difficult times, they think, well, if I'm gone, no one's going to miss me anyways. They don't feel seen, or that they're not even maybe seen by them, by their own selves. They're not acknowledging themselves. So if you're feeling that way, let's say you're feeling like you're not seen or you're not important or feeling ignored, maybe, how would you transform your mind to be thinking in the right direction?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a whole chapter in the book called You Are Not Alone. And it's speaking very much about, we are each given an entourage of support in the invisible and angelic realm. So that's the first thing. I do not encourage that people start the conversation of who is seeing me, which friend is seeing me, because that external validation in what I would call the linear plane is going to perpetuate the entrapment of feeling alone and isolated. So number one is to know that in the invisible realm, every single person that is listening to this has their own entourage of support. We live in a world of free will. So it is very important we have to summon and invoke and evoke these energies of support. The agreement field in the spirit realm is they're not going to just come into, they can give you clues and try to give you intuitive senses of things, but it's so important that you ask for the guidance and you ask for the support. So know that we're never alone, ever, 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 ever. Our mind wants to suggest we're not. The other important element, which you mentioned, Kimberly, is that if we are starting to feel not seen and we're starting to look in the linear experience of our life for why people aren't noticing us and I'll just not be seen, it is an incredible indicator that yes, we are being asked to witness ourselves more fully. We are being asked to start to honor, acknowledge, and be present with the gift of who we are. Because that feeling of lack is just an indication that we have forgotten to tend to ourselves. And by tending to ourselves, that is utilizing the gratitude practice, noticing your qualities, noticing your attributes, not accomplishments, not things you're doing, because that continues to create sort of that tripwire, of getting caught up in, well, if I'm not doing that, then I'm not worthy. And that's so much of what's being rewritten right now. So it's an opportunity to just turn within. That's been one of the gifts of the pandemic. We are given that opportunity, if we choose it, to really turn within and to acknowledge ourselves from a sovereign place, not in the three-dimensional realm of codependency, which continues to promote more and more suffering, expecting or relying on the external bank account, job accolades, other people to validate us. We are needing to validate ourselves from a very deep level of our soul's worth, which is another level of self-worth. And this is what I think we're all being invited to step into more fully.
I love that distinction. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we have been talking about so many wonderful things and we're learning so much. We're getting close to the end here. So
yeah.
Is there any question I haven't asked or any really important points that we should share with people before we complete today?
The only thing I would just share to remind people of is, you know, yesterday I was clever and I wanted to change the world and save the world. Today I'm wise and I am loving and accepting myself fully. So that is my hope for every person that is listening, that you really begin to love and accept yourself fully. Because imagine a world where everyone is loving and accepting themselves fully, and even our experiences, and loving and accepting what is becomes very rich fertilizer to promote the bloom of everything we're creating in our new earth and in our own personal lives. So may you all love and accept yourselves fully, love and accept the current conditions you're in. Otherwise, when we're fighting that, we know what that feels like. And it's not complacency. It's a very different energy. Your imagination is very powerful. And so in the loving and accepting of self and the loving and accepting of current conditions, you're no longer running the frequency and the vibration of defiance, which actually keeps you in a lower vibration. Then when you're in that state of learning to love and accept yourself fully, what you can start to promote along with the gratitude practice is your imagination practice. So most people are utilizing their powerful imagination to imagine worst case scenario and are playing devil's advocate for their future. And so this is an opportunity, and it has to begin with love and acceptance. You have to start with that. That's the gateway. That's the bridge, the love and acceptance of self. Then you start to feel more and more of an empowerment and your vibration starts to shift. Then you can start with the imaginings of what it will feel like in your next most creative future self life, not what it's going to look like. Because when we get caught up in the details, then we get overwhelmed. Then we start to feel powerless. So you really want to just start imagining the feeling of your most fulfilling life. Music can be a very powerful conduit for that. And just allow yourself to feel into the essence of what that is, and then just release it and let it go. And it's my promise to you that the universe will organize and orchestrate details and cooperative relationships and solutions beyond what your finite mind could ever construct and imagine. And so it's just a matter of keeping your vibration raised and elevated, which the gratitude practice will do, the love and acceptance practice will do, noticing what is working, getting away from the news and the media that is lowering your vibration. And you'll start to feel an inner excitement, positive expectation. And that's where you really want to start to harness the power of your imagination to play angel's advocate for your life and to imagine best case scenario.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you, Kimberly, for all that you do and all the ways that you host and champion a world that works for everyone. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you again soon.
You can find my book on Amazon if anybody is interested, A Journey Back to Self, for those who have lost their way. So thank you so much, everybody.